Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this time. We thank you that we can come together into your presence and to bring praise and worship to your Son. We thank you that he is indeed worthy. Father, we thank you for the revelation of him through your word. We thank you now that we have it and that we can read it and we can understand it and that we can be lifted up by your word day by day. And so we just pray now that you would give help this morning as we seek to learn from it and to open your word. So we pray these things now in your Son's worthy and precious name. Amen. So as I alluded to, I'd like to consider hope a little bit this morning. And before we dive into all of that, I think, you know, for many, the turning of a new year can be a time of reflection, on the year's past, and maybe even a time of reflection about what lies ahead. And for some, this consideration and process results in making changes or resolving to make changes in our lives or setting new goals and things like that for the years ahead. Personally, I haven't used the time of the turning of the year setting specific New Year's resolutions, but I have spent a lot of time reflecting over the past year. Specifically, as many of you know, with the passing of both Rebecca Hughes and my grandmother recently at the beginning of December. So if I was to give a title for what I have to share with everyone this morning, I would say it would be a reflection of hope. So as Christians, when we gather together like we do this morning and we consider our hope, we're reminded that our hope rests firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in that same hope that both Rebecca and my grandmother shared the hope of the gospel of the kingdom of God with me at a young age and the love of the Lord Jesus. I can distinctly remember a number of Sunday school classes with Rebecca as my teacher, both when I was very little, probably Eli's age or a little bit younger, and then again when I was a little bit older, faithfully sharing the reality of my sin and the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus. You know, in a similar way, my grandmother shared the gospel with me. And I also have very fond memories of her, my grandfather's faith, when I would go to sleepovers and see them on their knees praying at their bed. So much of my recent reflection of hope is based on these women and their hope and what drove them and the related outworking of faith that ultimately had an impact on my life. But I think not only that, others as well. So I would like to take a look at a few verses together in Hebrews 11 and a few other places, but largely Hebrews 11, where the author of Hebrews recounts several Old Testament examples of faith. Now, before we dive into it, a couple of definitions I think that are worthwhile. We often use the word hope in our day-to-day lives in a more generalized sense, where we hope such that we want something to happen or we want it to be true. You know, you might be saying, I hope my weekend plans get canceled, or maybe that's just me. or maybe somebody might ask you a question about future events, and you might respond, I hope so, without any real confidence that what you're hoping for is going to happen or that it's even going to take place. Now, the Greek word that's translated as hope in our English Bibles that's used throughout the New Testament is defined as anticipation, usually anticipation with pleasure, that kind of anticipation, enjoyment, but it's a confidence. It's a confident expectation, and it ultimately is very closely linked with faith. Now, it's confidence, confidence in what is anticipated and expected, not being just a possibility, but being a certainty, that kind of confidence. That's the hope that is used. That's the word that's translated as our English word hope throughout the New Testament. It's that kind of a hope, that certain hope. So with that in mind, I'd like to highlight a few texts within Hebrews 11, starting primarily with verse 1, 1 and 2, actually. So Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, most of what I'm going to be reading is from the ESV. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. So there's two main reflections of hope that I'd just like to look at this morning. If you remember nothing else, these will be the two things. We have our present faith our present faith in our future hope. That's the first thing. Our present faith in our future hope. And the second one is unseen hope is evidenced by faith. So we're going to look at both of those really, fairly quickly. The first one, our present faith in our future hope. So first of all, the author is clearly making a relationship here between present faith and future hope, which is expanded on in the examples that follow. He's not defining faith when he says, now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. He's not defining faith, but he's highlighting the relationship between faith and hope. And specifically in terms of the first consideration, our present faith and our future hope, it's a temporal relationship. It has to do with time. And so if we were to look at one of the examples, and you know this exists throughout many of them, but just looking at verse 8 as an example, where we read of Abraham, we read, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham heard the word of God and responded in faith. As we were reminded recently in Romans 10 and 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Similarly, if you're reading from the New King James, it'll say, and hearing through the word of God. Abraham heard God's promise, his word. He heard his word, but it was a promise of a land of inheritance. This was a future reality. This was something that was, it was a promise, something to be hoped in, not necessarily right in the immediate present. But Abraham put his trust in God. He put his faith in God and obeyed him in the present, based on that future hope. And so in trusting God, he acted. He obeyed. He got up and he left right in that moment, based on that future hope. And it's not that he was just wanting it to be true, but there was a confident expectation and trusting in God that that's what he was going to do. He was going to do exactly what he promised he was going to do for Abraham. So a present faith, Abraham's faith was present in a future hope. And similarly, our faith is directly linked in that same way. We have a present faith that's based in a future hope. Now, we don't hope for things that we have right now, otherwise it wouldn't be hope. We hope for what's to come. Otherwise, there wouldn't be this anticipation. It would exist in the here and now. The good news of the kingdom of God is a future hope with a very present reality for each one of us who's a believer here this morning. The writer of the Hebrews is exhorting a present faith. Not only that, but acting in faith now as if the future hope exists right now, today. Abraham's decisions and his actions were carried out. And this faith is also exemplified throughout the other examples in Hebrews 11, based on a confident expectation of the future realities, the future promises of God. As we continue on, just another consideration, stepping back actually to verse 6, we're reminded there by the author that, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek them. Now, Abraham is one of those who received his commendation because he trusted in God. Not only that God existed, but he trusted that he was going to fulfill his promises. He trusted that he was faithful with true. And that pleases God when we take him at his word. Now, thinking a little bit about this in terms of the context of the new year and some of the typical reflections that we might have, we could probably all agree that sometimes it's easy to be living in the future or to be living in the past, or maybe be so focused on our current circumstances and our own wishful thinking that we might lose sight of the hope that is before us. We're reminded in Romans 5 that when we hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hope in the glory of God, this confident expectation, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have been given the Holy Spirit and have been promised a complete reconciliation, an amazing promise, the pouring out of God's love through his Son, a heavenly inheritance, a life in the presence of our glorious King, where we will all be made perfect, free from sin and death. And so are we like Abraham? Are we responding to the word of God in the present, responding to his calling by faith, day by day, taking each step, taking each day in light of the great hope? So, a present hope, or a present faith in a future hope. And then for the second reflection, unseen hope is evidenced by faith. So, growing up, when I read and when I memorized Hebrews 11, verse 1, I memorized in the New King James. And the New King James is very similar, but it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so there's another distinction to be made here, which I think is well suited to the word substance, and that's the reality and the contrast between the things that are visible and the things that we can't see. The contrast between the responses of men and women believing and acting in faith and the things that aren't seen, like the promises of God, not actually seeing them in the way that we can see them. And so as another example from Hebrews, and just reading through verses 9 and 10, again speaking of Abraham, we read there that by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, living in tents at that time was representative of a nomadic lifestyle. And so Abraham himself had not yet received the promised inheritance. He hadn't received the promises of God that were spoken to him, the word that was spoken to him. But he continued to live by faith and to act as if those promises were confident in those promises and expectation of those promises to be fulfilled. He was looking forward with hope to a city whose designer and builder is God. And then again, just grabbing some other pieces here. So down in verses 13 to 16, this section in my New King James Bible is titled as the heavenly hope. And we read here, these all died in faith, these referencing Abraham and others listed, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham's unseen hope in the promises of God is evidenced by his faith. Which is something that was tangible, that would have been able to be seen and known by the people who saw what he was doing. And we can read about it as recorded by the author. Now, we cannot fully see the things that we hope for, these things in the future, just as Abraham and Sarah couldn't fully see the promises that they hoped for. They didn't get to see them all fulfilled in their lifetime. But by the grace of God, they greeted them from afar. You know, in a small way, Abraham was given a measure because he was able to see a miraculous birth in a way and see the beginnings of the promises to be fulfilled. You know, and despite the promises not being fulfilled within their lifetime, their examples of faith are recorded in the Bible for us to read as evidence of the trustworthiness of God. In our age, after the coming of Christ and the fulfillment of many of these promises, their examples of faith are not only examples to us that God keeps his promises, which is why they're being recorded, but they're evidence of God himself. And their acts of faith are assurance to us as believers. Now, it's a short kind of share this morning, but to kind of summarize and to maybe skip ahead in a way, in one of the great therefore statements of the New Testament, at the beginning of the next chapter, we're going to read, therefore, this is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the beginning of the next chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. As we consider verse 1, therefore we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, we have the benefit of the testimony of those who have gone before us, many of whom, and you read in the later verses of 11, who suffered greatly through persecution and things like that. But they still lived out their faith with confident expectation and anticipation of the fulfillment of the promises that God made to them. Abraham was promised that he would be made a great nation, and that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. This promise, this hope, is like the many promises of God. They're all looking to Jesus, as we see in those verses there, culminating in the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Therefore, in a way, the hope of Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and many others listed there, as well as those of us who respond to God by faith, is the same hope. It's all the same hope, the same response to the promise of deliverance by the Lord God, a confident expectation that God is faithful and keeps his promises. And so, as an aside to this as well, we're reminded of Ephesians 2 and 11. It comes to mind in relation to our hope and our condition prior to the hope that we have now. And there it reads in verses 11 and 12, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." We once had truly no hope. And there are many in that state today where there's wishful thinking and there's wanting, but there isn't a firm hope grounded in expectation and confidence in reality. Completely separate from God, we once were in our sin. But now we have an eternal confident hope, and that is in the Lord Jesus. He is our solid rock, a hope that is sure. And ultimately, as we see in the examples given to us in Hebrews 11 here of those Old Testament examples, and as we see in brothers and sisters in Christ who we have lived with previously and who we live with today, it's a hope that's more than just wishful thinking or mere head knowledge, but a hope that can be acted on, whether it be moving from the country that you, that like Abraham, but actions inspired by that faith. And what a beautiful thought it is that not only is our hope sure, not only is our hope and faith pleasing to God, but through our faith in the Spirit of God, through our faith, the Spirit of God provides us personal assurance of the outpouring of his love, as we read in Romans 5. He provides that to us as an encouragement and as an assurance. And not only that, but God uses the faithful response of hope-filled men and women throughout the ages of history to work his plans and his will in the world. And he did that through all of these people, Abraham, Moses, and he was working out his will through their faith. And so, in moments of weakness, we might be tempted to look at the years behind. We might be tempted to look at the current state of affairs in the world and fear for unprecedented times in an unseen and an unknown future that lies ahead. Sometimes I find myself defaulting to a more negative outlook, not only in small things, but also in the bigger things in life. A negativity that's wholly inconsistent with the hope that we have in Christ, that we should have in Christ as believers in him. The source of our hope remains unchanged, and it has remained unchanged since the foundation of the world. It is consistent, it is static, and therefore our response of faith should remain unchanged as well. What we're hoping in, it does not change. It's not based on governments, it's not based on changing norms or changing circumstances or even wars. So the hope of a first century Christian, the hope of Abraham, the hope of a Christian today, it all remains the same. We hope in the promises of God. We hope in the gospel of the kingdom of God, the same gospel that was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus to a lost world of sinners without hope. Now, it is in that same hope in Christ that was witnessed to me through the lives of both Rebecca and my grandmother, and many others who spoke the gospel into my life over the years and continue to do so today, sometimes with words and sometimes with action. Their acts of faith, like the faith of the Old Testament examples in Hebrews, are substance. Their acts of faith are assurance to our souls, evidence of the things that we can't see in the here and now, evidence of the promises of God, and evidence of God himself. So as we head into the new year, by our present faith, let us share the confident expectation of our future hope in Christ, as it has been shared with us. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to those who have no hope. Just before I pray, there's one psalm, a couple verses in Psalms that I just wanted to close with. So in Psalm 33, verse 20, starting in verse 20. "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the great hope that we have in your word. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have revealed your Son through your great love. We thank you that we have many examples throughout your word where men and women have responded to your word in faith, and they have been blessed, and they have been recipients of your love, and they have acted in faith according to your word, Father. And we just thank you that hope does not disappoint, and that you fulfill your promises, and that you remain faithful and true day by day. And so, Father, we thank you now for this word, and I pray that we would keep it close to our hearts as we continue forward into this new year, and that we would share our hope with those around us as you give us opportunity. So, Father, we thank you once again for this time, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.